This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Teaching like this, I don't have to do much review or any review and just keep flowing. Amen? All right. We're in our parenting series. This is our third session. This is our fourth session, second night, fourth session. We left off talking about being spiritually prepared to be a godly parent. And we talked about these five keys. We said the first key of unity, second key of faith, third key, being filled with the Spirit and not ashamed of it, praying in the Spirit over your children on a regular basis. As the intercession, you must do that. Amen. Then the spiritual key of unconditional love. We love them not because of what they do, but who they are. They are the people. They are our people. They are God's. We are responsible to God for them. So we look beyond what they do and love them because of who they are. And then the spiritual key of spiritual authority. And that's where we left off. Now, the reason I really want to deal with this, I read the scripture out of Revelation where it talked about the symbolic thing there was that as the church gives birth, the devil is trying to, he's there to devour whatever we give birth to. So we got to understand that the devil wants your child. Everybody say, that's serious. No, that's a reality that he really wants to devour your child. He wants to destroy their lives. He can't. Got it? If we do our part. Amen? All right, now watch this. Verse 17, Luke chapter 10. Check your neighbor. You should have it from last time, but I want to flow into this. I want to really impress upon you the reality of this. I'm not spooky. I'm just spiritual. The God, it says, verse 19 says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Serpents and scorpions are aliases or nicknames for the devil. And it says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, the Bible says, verse 17 says that the disciples returned and said the devils were subject to them. In other words, the devils were obedient to them. So we've got to understand that we have been given power over the forces of darkness. You have power over the devil. Forget the Hollywood stuff. Forget all the stuff you've seen on television about how the devil always wins. That's not scriptural. It's not true. It's not a fact. You have the power over the devil. Whatever you've been given authority over, you have faith for. You've been given authority over your children. That's the order of God. Therefore, you have faith to release your authority, your spiritual authority over their lives. You got it? So you got to understand that's your responsibility. We can look at the tracks in the Bible of the devil launching his attack upon people. Now, in Mark chapter 16, go there with me. Mark chapter 16. Verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they do what? Cast out devils. All right. The Amplified says, in my name they will drive out demons. Now, why would the Bible put that there? If that wasn't something that the New Testament believer would be faced with and would have to do. So you got to understand that it's your responsibility to drive out the devil. And there are some things that are called that our children face. Society puts a label on it, but you got to understand the devil's behind it. The devil seeks to pervert our children's behavior. He seeks to pervert their thinking so they misbehave in ungodly fashions. Homosexuality. Lesbianism. Amen. The lustful desires. I mean, those are the avenues that the devil takes and dominates the thinking of our children. Amen. And, you know, getting them some contraceptives ain't going to help. They're just going to freak out for real then. I'm keeping it nice. I have satellite people. But you got to understand, it's a reality in the Bible that the devil attacks children. All right. Watch this. Turn with me your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. He attacks children. We're going to see this attack, this one attack here. It's both a physical and an emotional attack that's been launched against this kid. What did I tell you? All right, Mark chapter 9. I'll start there at verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever it taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnash with his teeth, or grinds his teeth, and pineth away, or sits up in a dumb stupor. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Didn't mean that, it didn't say they didn't try. They tried and they were not successful. But it was still the will of God for this boy to be free. All right? The father didn't give up. Praise the Lord. Verse 19. And he answered and said to him, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him. The devil started manifesting himself. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. See, the devil attacked his kid, attacked the boy, baby, child. Amen. And oftentimes, it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now, you got to understand, looking at it from the outside, this child had suicidal tendencies. And from the outside, see, you know, this kid jumped in the water trying to destroy himself. Right, this kid would jump in the fire trying to kill himself. And people from the outside would say, there's something wrong with this kid because he's always trying to commit suicide. But the problem was that there was a demon spirit impacting his thought life and his life. Can you see that? Amen. He didn't need no drugs. He needed some deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. It says, and Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. Well, verse 22. It says, and oftentimes they cast him to the fire and to the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Amen. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, inasmuch as many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? This is so awesome. Because you see here, this boy was under a demonic attack. Amen. Now, you don't have to go through a whole bunch of religious gyrations to cover your children spiritually. Amen. You don't have to do that. But you need to declare your children's lives, their minds, their bodies off limits to the devil. It's your spiritual authority to do so. It's your right to do so. Your hush person says, you got to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. See your little boy start twitching. You don't need to beat him up physically. Boy, you quit walking like that. You need to bring brother man in for some prayer. You need to cast some spirits out of brother man. Now, I know some of y'all said, well, that's extreme. Okay, fine. This is not one of them seminars on parenting where I'm going to tell you to go give him some time out. He needs some deliverance time. That's what he needs, see. You got to break the power of darkness over the kid. Amen. All right, look with me in your Bibles. I want to move on from this, but just kind of got a witness to stay here. John chapter 4. Our children are facing an onslaught from the devil like we, you and I never understood. And I'm just going to say this. You know, I know a lot of y'all like BET, and I'm on BET, but I'm going to tell you, after the church stuff go off, it ain't fit to look at. I'm just telling you right off, after all the church stuff go off and maybe some of the news stuff, it ain't really fit to look at. You ought to wonder, you got the answer why children are acting so crazy. When you look at that, that's all they see. Somebody on their half naked shaking their butt. So quite naturally, your girl want to be turned out. That's all she's seeing. No. It glorifies gangsters. And you got your child's in there looking at gangsters all day long. That's why he wants to be a gangster. Now, who wants to be a millionaire? Who wants to be a gangster? The one who watches the gangsters all the time on TV. Now, the gangsters I'm talking about these little thug gangsters. And what you don't understand is you open yourself up for spirits and suggestions. And you watch all that stuff. Got to hurry, can't I? Got to hurry. Move on, Brother Hillary. All right, now. All right, look there in verse 49. John chapter 4, verse 49. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus spake unto him, and he went his way. And he was going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. And he inquired of them the hour when he began to mend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. I can understand. I got authority over my child. And as a parent, you're the one who has to take that authority. You have to take authority over the devil and over forces of darkness attacking your child. Just like the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus said, My daughter is grievously vexed with devils. Now, I know some of you don't want to admit it, but I mean, you got to, you know, when you start looking at them, say, you know, I know this is not you. No, it ain't you. It's some manifesting themselves through the child. See, now y'all getting real quiet here. Pastor ain't spooky. Pastor just trying to bring you to the light. Got it? Your daughter ain't never seen you be no hooker. And she just want to be a hooker. Just a desire to be a hooker. And if you just really want to know the extent the devil has gotten folk down to, is you look at, what's that, Jerry? That has got to be the lowest people on there. You know, that's crazy. But it's manifestation of where you can fall, the reprobate thinking you can fall to if you let the devil have your mind. You know, it's going on. She got a husband over there. She been sleeping with her best friend. And her best friend is a woman. And now they on there to fight to see who get her. That ain't a bunch of devil stuff. I don't know what it is. But see, what it is it opens the door. So when the suggestion comes to your daughter, why not try out your friend? That was something I was looking at. And point, it was nothing. I saw it. It was just nothing but a setup for the devil. This one girl was telling this other girl that you're supposed to try out with another girl before you try out with a man. Because you don't want to be embarrassed when you're with a man. So you try it out first with another woman. Well, not to the depraved mind. That make sense. But all that is, that's a door open for lesbianism. Hallelujah. And if a child doesn't have some God consciousness to understand that that's not pleasing to God, I don't care how your flesh feel. You can't follow your flesh. Flesh gets you in trouble every time. Amen. You can't follow your flesh under no circumstances. See, flesh is crazy. And you got to understand that you're not dead to the flesh to please your flesh. Well, in the same light, you have to let your children know you can't do what you feel. You can't do that. How many know you can't do what you feel? You can't do what you feel. No, you can't. You can't control your feelings. Amen. You can't. Praise the Lord. All right. So, are we going to agree that we're going to be more sensitive to the devil's attack over on our children? Even at early ages. Violent natures in our children. It ain't cute. Hallelujah. All right, I got to move on. Now, turn to your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Let's get on a positive note now. Let's move on. Y'all kind of looked at me funny like, what happened to Pastor? Pastor, I'm talking about our children vexed with devils. They are. I ain't backing off. They are. Amen. They may not be possessed, but they vexed. I mean, he's talking to them crazy. Man, you know, there used to be a time that a brother just wouldn't kill himself. Y'all know now, we just weren't going to do that. You know, got bad and got, you understand? But now brothers shooting themselves in the head. Now you know it's something wrong. Please don't take this the wrong way. I can't sit now. I've been, I said. But anyway, that's the result of the devil. Tell you shoot yourself. Shoot yourself. Kill yourself. Go and kill yourself. Show him. You'll just die. Show him. Now, you know, and I'm not saying it to be funny, but I'm saying that's how it happens. The devil talks you into killing yourself. Well, I got to tell you, your child's facing all kind of pressures and things like that. Things they never handled before. You got to understand. Who was behind them fellas at Columbine High walking through there shooting folk? You got to understand. I mean, is the devil orchestrating that whole thing? We got to understand. We're in a spiritual fight. And let's not be sissies. Let's just stand. I don't care if folks call us extreme or not. That's all I don't care. Call me extreme. I'm going to be in victory, though. Do you understand? I am not telling you to take your child off of any medication. I have to say that. Because he told me to tell. I didn't tell you to. But I am telling you, you need to minister to that child, pray over that child, and then take that child back to the doctor. Tell the doctor, hey, are you sure he need all this stuff? Your child walking around all spacey, saying the medicine slow him down. How slow down did he need to be? So passive that they are now open for demonic suggestions? With no resistance. How many of you have been drunk? Come on, tell off on yourself. Come on, I'm watching you. I'm looking at you. How many of y'all been drunk? Okay. How many know that when you're in that state, you're prone to suggestions? Come on now. Come on. I gotta prove a point. That when you're in that kind of passive state, you're real prone to suggestions. And I'm telling you, and y'all please hear Pastor, drugs put our kids in a place where they're prone to crazy suggestions. Okay. All right. You're in Romans chapter 4, 15, verse 4. What did I say? 14. Well, since it's my lesson, I'll change. 15. 15 verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope." I want to talk about 10 things now that every parent must do for their child. This is based on the 10 things we see that God did for his child, Adam. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. 10 things that God did for Adam we must do in principle for our children. 10 things that God did for Adam that we must do in principle for our children. Things that are written so that we can extract information from, knowledge from, wisdom from. And I tell you, if you'll do these 10 things, you will have laid the groundwork and the foundation for a godly child. Amen. All right, we should spend the rest of the way on this. All right, there in Genesis chapter 1, I'll start there in verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God divided, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Number one, what you must do for your child is what God did for Adam. God brought Adam into an organized world. He did not bring Adam into a world that was chaotic. If husband and wives, if you haven't got your lives together, please don't have no children right now. Y'all still fussing and cussing and fighting. Please don't get pregnant. Don't do that now. You don't need to bring your child in your chaotic mess. God waited until he had put the world in order, and then he made a man. Got it? So the first thing you've got to do is bring some order and some structure into the home. You got it? You must bring some order and some structure into the home. There has to be some guidelines, some rules, some order, a way, a definite way that things ought to be done. Because an organized environment promotes organized thinking. So the first thing I got to do is make sure that my home is organized in order. Amen? Because God didn't bring Adam into a disorganized world. All right? Number two, second thing I got to do is what God did. God made sure that there was sufficient provisions for Adam's full development. So as a responsible parent, I've got to make sure that I have sufficient provisions for my child's development. Doesn't mean you got to wait till you get to become a millionaire or anything like that. But you've got to understand that that child has needs. Your child is a tripartite being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Body, soul, and spirit. Therefore, they must develop. You must have the provisions so that they may develop in those three areas. He needs sufficient natural foods. Amen? You got it? So it's your responsibility to provide more than just a hamburger here and there. I think there was one doctor told me that there is now an epidemic among children with cholesterol problems and all that sort of thing because their diet's so bad. Because mama won't cook anymore. And if you don't want to cook, at least take them to a place like a cafeteria and quit taking them to, eating junk food all the time. And we ain't getting away, man, on that, you understand? Because some of y'all got Burger King on the mind tonight. Just I'm just telling you. Look what God did. God made the whole world. Made all the provisions for Adam. All right. He provided for Adam naturally. Number two, he provided for Adam academically. He said, how do you mean? Why did God provide for Adam academically? He gave Adam a task that forced him to develop his thinking. He had Adam to name all the creatures. So he provided for Adam's mental and soulish development. Got it? So you must understand that you have to make provisions for your child's soulish and mental and academic development. Got it? And it's your responsibility to see that your child gets to college. Amen. See, a lot of you don't want to go amen now because the college be costing. Yeah, it costs a lot. Amen. But you got time to prepare for it. Amen. Don't try to talk to a child out of going to college. Child, you know, you can be successful without going. I wouldn't go if I were you. All because you're too cheap to believe for that child's tuition and things like that. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Don't do that. You know, my boy, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to hook you up on the job. You know, the man here, he's hiring right now. He's hiring. Next year, by the time you get out of school, you forget that college stuff, you understand? And after all, they say over 10% of folk who go to college be successful anyway. No, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm saying that a lot of people talk their children out of developing themselves that way because they don't want to make the sacrifice that a parent needs to make to provide for that. I don't want to get amen on that. See, that's money there. You don't want to say amen on some money. Cast not devils. Amen, we cast the devil out of them. Send them to college. All right, number three. Adam, God provided for Adam's spiritual development. We see now, how did God provide for Adam's spiritual development? By the tree. The whole purpose of the tree. A lot of people ask the question, why was the tree there in the garden? The tree was there to give Adam an opportunity to develop spiritually because it was an object for obedience. And we develop spiritually by obeying God. And so when God gave him the mandate concerning the tree, every day Adam walked by the tree and did not touch the forbidden fruit, he was demonstrating the lordship of God over his life, and he was demonstrating spiritual obedience. So God provided avenues for his development. Now, that is why it's important for you to get your children here to children's church and to teen ministry. And don't let them talk you out of not bringing them. That is why it's important for some of you to become more involved in teen ministry and children's ministry. I ain't getting much. I ain't hardly getting no way, man. I got that little pity pass. And there's probably all children's church workers that clap. You understand? Ain't no new hands on that. So ain't no new converts on that. But I'm telling you, God wants you to get more involved. Man, I start going through the scriptures that, as I study and prepare myself for this lesson and just start looking at how God loves those who take care of his children. My, he does that. I'm real convinced that that's one reason why I'm so blessed. See, I learned to teach by teaching children. They used to call my church Kitty Land. Really, because all I had in church years ago was, I was in a Baptist church, but one of the churches I started, I had nothing but children. I used to drive the bus on Sundays, go pick them up. First, we started on Saturday, right? Go Saturday, knock on the doors, tell the parents, I want to pick your child up, bring your child to school. Bring your child to Sunday school. Got it? On Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, we was out knocking on the doors and talking to the parents about their children. And then we go back there on Sunday morning, the bus would go through the neighborhoods. We, you know, we'd get up early, you know, gas the bus up. And then in the neighborhood we were in, sometimes people had borrowed our gas. They had brought our gasoline out of the bus, you know what I'm saying? They'd borrowed it, you know. But that's all right. We had some fuel, had some gas, that, you know, in the gas, in a little storage thing. We pull some more gas in there. You know, had to get there early, so you smell it like gas now. That's all right, though. Now we're going out knocking on doors and having the kids standing on the corner. And I'm driving the bus, too, now. I'm pastor now. But I'm pastor, superintendent of the Sunday school, and head of the bus ministry. Glory. Got it? And there's my bus. That was my bus captain right there. She's one of my bus captains. I'm telling you, we was picking up these kids, bringing them to church, and then we'd get them there, and everybody knew Dr. Bridget as the donut lady, because we would have donuts for the kids when they got on the bus. You understand? We'd give them donuts, we'd tell them, and then they'd sing songs on the way to church. And I'm serious. We had a lot of fun. They sang songs on the way to church, get to church, you know, then, you know, I park the bus, they get out the bus, then I go in my study, you know, get my Bible and everything, then I come out, and now I'm superintendent of the Sunday school and the Sunday school teacher. You understand? And so I gave it my all, though. See, I gave it everything I had. I didn't cut back on it. I didn't sit back and say, well, you know, I'm the pastor, so let me go in there and teach the church. No, I took it upon myself to teach it. Got it? God developed me as a teacher, simple teacher. People ask me all the time, you make it so simple. What I learned, I cut my teeth on teaching children, making it simple, using simple illustrations so that they would get the understanding of it. Got it? And then, of course, after service was over, after Sunday school was over, then it was time for church, you understand? And maybe two or three more adults would show up, you know, but it was really still another Sunday school for that. Because a bunch of children again, preach again, open the doors of the church, do all that. Of course, in those days, I was singing and carrying on, you understand? So after all that was over, now it's time to take the children back home, got it? Back on the bus, you understand? And go. Take the bus back through the neighborhood, drop the kids off, walk them to the door, tell their parents, thank you, see them next week, that sort of thing. And that was the routine we did. Amen. But when you go through scripture and see the heart of God, that God, I believe he gives special favor to those who love his children. I mean, really, 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 he really does. Look at the person that he really does. Amen. So, I mean, I believe God's calling some of y'all to children's ministry. I mean, I really believe he's calling some of you. How many got a passion for children? Not in children ministry now, but you have a passion for children. Amen. Don't let the Lord use you in children and teen ministry. All right, praise the Lord. Keep your hands raised. Keep your hand raised. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the conviction. I ain't playing, y'all. Father, thank you for the conviction that you've put in the hearts of these people. I thank you, Father, that you're going to nurture that, that you're going to, that the Spirit of God is going to anoint them, draw them into the children's ministry so that, Father, we can please you more perfectly with the assignment that you have on this church. And then, Father, those churches who are watching by way of television, by way of the satellite, I thank you, Father, that there are hands raised even in the satellite networks. And, Father, you're going to give them a fresh anointing, a deeper passion to minister to your children. This is a generation that Jesus died for. And we will not let the devil steal it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. All right. All right, number three. God accepted personal responsibility for Adam. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. God took personal responsibility for Adam. Now, you must assume personal responsibility. Everybody say, it's got to be personal for your children. Let's look at verse 7. It says, talk about personal responsibility. It means that God took out his personal time to be involved in communicating love, affection, care, and instruction to Adam. Now, in our generation, our fast-paced generation, this has to be a wake-up call for many parents. Spending quality time with the child. That's the model that we have here in Scripture. That's the model that we have in Scripture. All right? Verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. This is amazing. Watch this. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's personable, isn't it? Verse 8, it says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. That's personal, isn't it? Look at the personal touch that God keeps on it. And it says, out of the ground God, the Lord made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river went out of Eden into, to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. And the name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same is that encompasses the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is which goeth down toward the east of Syria. And the fourth is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, personal again, and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, he's talking to him now, all right, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. See, look at this personal time God is dealing with Adam. Didn't just create Adam, throw him out there and say, okay, boy, make it the best way you can. I'll see you in about 10 years. All right? He says, I will make him an helpmeet, for I will make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and of the fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see. He's overseeing Adam's development, overseeing how Adam's going to carry out his task. Personal oversight to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And God gave, and Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took from him took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God taken from the man made he a woman and brought her to him. Personal again now. And Adam said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Look at all of this personal time. Can you see this? How God, God didn't just take Adam to the babysitter and say, okay. Personal. Everybody say personal. Don't have a child if you can't spend the personal time with them. Amen. You know, people say, well, you know, you don't have a son. You need to have a boy. I ain't got the time right now. No. I do not want to. I don't have the time commitment to make bringing up. I understand too much about child rearing now to do that. I can't do that. I don't have the time. It would be wrong for the child to, for me to do that. Now, I am strong. I can, you understand? Oh, yeah. Ain't nothing wrong. Okay, let me quit playing. Be serious. All right, watch this. But now think about this. Come on now, think about it. Can you see Adam's personal, God's personal involvement? Can you see that? Because it's important that you see that, because that's where the Spirit of God has to bring that conviction on you. So you got to understand, you follow me, that there is some personal time that you got to spend. And my God, if you're not willing to make the commitment, don't bring the child in the earth. If you got the child in the earth now, you got to make whatever adjustments that you need to make so you can spend the time with the child. Amen. And listen to me, fathers. It's talking to you too. Amen. Now, in our culture, especially in our culture, because of how slavery conditioned us not to get really attached to our families because we could be pulled apart, we grew up with men not having strong attachments at home. For the most part, the raising of a child was a mama's thing. We have to grow beyond that. Amen. We got to grow beyond that. When you know better, you what? Do better. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody get blessed out of that one? All right. Then number one. I don't know why how y'all got all them points. I ain't been through all them points. Point number one, let's review then. Point number one was what? Organize. God brought Adam into an organized situation, therefore you must organize your child's world. Amen? Don't let that child keep their room unorganized. Don't put up with that. But at the same time, your child's going to reflect what they saw in your room. Yes, indeed. You understand? You're talking about that child keep his closet clean, but your closet is a mess too. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I teach you here at the light. I don't know if I taught this a long time about it. Everybody, the real you is who you are at home in the unsupervised areas of your life. That's the real you. That's your real tolerance is your closet. Go home tonight and take a look at your closet, and that is what you really require. If you got clothes all on the floor, this is some conviction going on in the house here. I haven't talked this for a while. This is good to bring, come through here with this. Yeah, I say, if you got clothes all on the floor, everything is all disorganized, why would God want to bless you with some more stuff? You can't even find your shoes now. You understand? I need a. Anybody seen my blue shoe? You know the blue one with the buckle, the gold buckle on the. Why? Because when you come out and dress, you just throw things in the closet. You understand? Why would God bless you so you could be further confused? The very first step now is you going home and getting organized yourself. And men, I'm telling you, you know, if you don't have a separate closet, you know, then, you know, maybe you and your wife will divide the closet up, you know, because men is real, you know, we'll go clean the closet. You heard Pastor say, get the closet. I'm tired of this closet being a mess. Come on now, brothers, let's not take that attitude. I mean, look, you know, you need your own closet. Amen. If you ain't got but one, praise the Lord, you know, do the best you can. But you want to keep it clean. Take your suits off, your clothes out. You hang them up. You put them away. You got to have some structure, some order in your life. And it starts in the unsupervised areas of your life. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, if you want to see, well, my closet is organized. Dr. Bridges' closet is organized. I learned this principle years ago. I am who I am in my closet. That's what I really require. Not who you are when you come out, because we know how to put it up, make it up. You understand? But what do you really require is where only you have to sit. Well, that's sobering now, isn't it? Isn't that really sobering now? And when you go home tonight and you open the closet and look at that mess, that's the real you. You caused that. You did that. And you've been living with it because you got a tolerance for it. Amen. How many going to go home and check their closet tonight? So I ain't going to open the door, Pastor. No, I ain't going to open the door. Yes. All right. Number two was what? Come on. Number two was sufficient provisions. For full development, body, soul, and spirit. Number three was what? Personal responsibility for Adam. I mean, God took personal responsibility. In other words, God didn't pass it off to somebody else. What we've seen through this is that God took this personal time. See, it's only when you take this personal time that you're really going to come to know your child. And you're going to know whether they have special needs. You're going to know how to nurture them and how to care for them. You'll never know them if you won't spend time with them. Amen. Quit letting the television raise your child. Got it? And decide that you're going to take over. Think about it. If you'll take over now, you can predict the outcome. You'll be responsible for what's going on. You know, outcome. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'll pick up the Never Seven tomorrow. Anybody get blessed tonight out of that? All right. Now,
For more information on the teaching ministry of Dr. Zavi and Bridget Hilliard at New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas, write Light Ministries, Post Office Box 670167, Houston, Texas 77267, or call 281-875-4448. You can also call toll-free 800-908-4222. And remember, we are changing lives through faith.